Praise God. God bless you, Times Square Church. God bless you, young people. It's so good to be here. Makes me feel young again every time I worship among you. And it stirs something within me to pray for my students. I work with elementary students, and I see some of their faces in the young people up here, and I just imagine them here in the future, you know, when they're young like you and gripped by God. So I'm going to be praying more fervently for that rain that we heard about this evening to fall upon our schools. Amen. Father, we pray for that rain to fall even tonight. Lord, amongst us, rend the heavens, come down and speak to us, dear God. Lord, I have nothing to offer, but you have everything to offer, dear God. Lord, you come and speak to every heart. You know exactly where we are. And we pray that if there's anyone bound in chains, that today would be their night of freedom. They would find Christ, the deliverer of their soul. Father, set the captives free. Set troubled minds at ease. Dear God, Father, we're asking you to save because salvation belongs to you. Glorify Jesus. We want to lift you up, and we want all men to be drawn unto you. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you. Praise God. Praise God. It's an amazing thought to think that I was once a young person here in Times Square Church. I was one of the young adults. I remember ushering as part of the young adults ministry. That's a scary thought for some of you. You're like, oh no. The guys are thinking, oh no. In a few years, that's what I can expect. It's all right. God gives and God takes away, right? God is good. Look in Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, and we're just going to read one verse in chapter 3, verse 20, a very familiar verse for most of you. Verse 20 of chapter 3 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This is Christ speaking. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door." I love that. Hear my voice. I hope and I pray to God that you've been hearing his voice since the moment you stepped into this place, and even throughout the week, you've been hearing his voice. Not some impersonal knock on the door where you don't know who it is. You know that God has been knocking. You know God has been calling you. You know God is speaking to you. It's almost like he's knocking and saying, I know you're in there, and you, I know you know it's me, and I'm speaking you so that you would open the door. I will come in. Whoever, if any man, it says, hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. This is a promise. I will come in. He's not thinking about it. He's not going to debate after he sees what's behind the door. He's not going to contemplate the idea of not fulfilling his promise. He's saying, if you just open up the door, I will come in to him and I will sup with him. In other words, I will dine. I will have communion, sweet fellowship with him and him with me. Praise God. Have you ever heard a knock on your door and not answered it? Refuse to go to the door? Well, I'm titling this short message, I Hear You Knocking, But You Can't Come In. Have you ever had an excuse not to open the door? I'm curious. I wish I could go one by one and hear your stories about how you've refused. I've done it a couple of times on occasion, pretended I'm not there, hoping that they'll just go away. I don't know if you've ever done it, but tonight we're going to come and we're going to present possible excuses that may arise in the hearts of people who are resisting, who are saying no, like we heard the testimony of Sister Rosa, where she was saying no. Everything within her was saying, no, I don't want to go to that service. I don't want to go this way where God is leading me and God is calling me. But yet somehow the excuses had to fall crumbling to the ground, that something stronger than the excuse rose up within their heart. So allow me to share with you a few of the, I would call, the top excuses for not answering the door. Are you ready for this? And you may have said one of these excuses. I'm just going to list them out. One is, the house is a mess. I'm not going to answer this. I can't open the door because I'm embarrassed for anybody to see what's behind this door. It's a wrong time. It's just not a sight to see. The house is a mess. I'm not properly dressed, I'm not presentable, I'm having a bad hair day. Maybe some of you could relate. I don't open up to strangers. And this guy looks pretty strange through the peephole. It's some type of delivery, and I don't have money to pay for it, so I'm not even going to dare open this door. It must not be for me. It's a mistake. Can't be for me. It's the pizza guy, and I didn't order pizza. Or this may be cultural. I'm a Puerto Rican, so I could relate to this. Some Puerto Ricans in the house. Hallelujah. Gloria a Dios. You see, in our culture, we tend to give people something to eat or some refreshments when they come to our house. And if we don't have anything to offer, we feel like, you know, I feel ashamed that I don't have anything in the cupboard to share with them. And I don't want to offer them just water, you know, so tap water. So I'd rather not open the door. It's supper time. I have nothing to offer them. This is another excuse. I didn't invite anyone. How dare they just show up at my door? Couldn't they just text me, call me, you know, like reach out to me first, warn me a little bit, tell me something. Come on, don't show up just at my door. Knock who? How dare they? This is my house. This is my privacy. This is my, you know, space. This is one, I don't know if you could relate to this. We've had an increase of break-ins in this neighborhood. So it's not safe to open the door. I'm just going to ignore it. And lastly, I'm sick and I just can't get out of bed. Now, if you're thinking your house is a mess when Christ shows up at the door, my friends, you're in a good position. Because it's true. Your house and my house is a mess. But if we're thinking we got to fix it up before he comes in, then we're on the wrong path. Because there's no way we can get it together and make it presentable for him to come in. He's the King of glory. He's the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of every living thing. We can't assume that we're going to somehow get it together and make our home, this heart, presentable and fit for a king. There's no way. He knows the mess, and yet he still knocks and whispers and asks us. And sometimes he cries out. Sometimes his whisper gets louder and becomes a cry. Sometimes it's a song over our life. Sometimes it's thunder. Sometimes it's circumstances that begin to shake us up, and it's his knocking because he wants your attention and he wants you to open up the door because he knows the mess that you're in and he knows the mess that I'm in, and he's the only one that can straighten it out. And that's why he's knocking on the door of your heart. That's why he's crying out to you. Please open up the door. I've cried out to you. I've called you. You know you're mine. You know I paid the price on Calvary for you. You know I have a destiny and a plan for you. You know the thoughts that I have for you are good and not evil, and there's an expected end for your life. You've heard it over and over again. You've heard me singing over you. You felt my embrace on you. You know I'm drawing you with cords of love. Won't you open up your heart tonight? Won't you allow me? I know the mess already. You don't have to try to hide things and shove them under the bed so that I won't see them. I know it. I know the mess inside and out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Lord is saying, I know the mess that you have, that you're living in. I've seen the filth, all the things that you've hidden, the disrepair, the things that you'd rather keep under the bed, in the closet, the dust that has accumulated, the junk that you've been collecting, the years and years of neglect, the microwave that hasn't been cleaned in ages, you know, with all the spaghetti all flying all over the place. He's seen the mess that you've neglected to clean. He's seen it. The unfinished projects, the things that you've said, I'm going to do this one day. I'm going to fix that wall. I'm going to fix this floor. I'm going to change that carpet. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try better. I'm going to try harder. He has seen your intentions. He has seen your trials. He has seen you fall flat on your face and not be able to do what you've promised him that you were going to do. And he still knocks on the door and he says, won't you let me in? Because I'm the one that can fix every repair. I am the one who can straighten every wall. I'm the one who can eliminate this faulty foundation and put a sure foundation under your feet. I can make the repairs that need to be made in your life. Won't you let me in? And we think sometimes, let me get it together first, and then I'll give my life fully to him. Let me fix things up a little bit, without knowing that if we try to fix things up upon a faulty foundation, it's just going to come crumbling down upon us. We will fail every time. He's the only one that can straighten out our lives. He's the only one who knows every code violation in our heart. And he's come to make every crooked way straight. Can you say amen? Thank you, God, for knocking on the door of my heart. Thank you for knowing who I am and all my frailties and all my failures and all my weaknesses. You know the thoughts that I'm thinking even before they begin, even before I'm aware of them. You have seen them already, and you still choose to humble yourself and knock on the doors of my heart and ask me to let the King of Glory come in. He knows you're not presentable. He knows you don't have it all together. And yet he invites himself to your house, to your heart, to come in and to give you the best robe, to clothe you, to cover your shame and all your mistakes of the past and all your failures. He comes and he has the best robe for those who open up the door to him. He wants to clothe you. He wants to give you a shameless garment, a garment that's bold to stand before your peers and testify of the goodness of God. You're able to tell them, listen, what I have by mercy. He was merciful to me. I didn't deserve it, but I opened my heart to him, and he came in and he clothed me. He gave me a new mind. He gave me a new heart. He gave me new eyes. Now I don't see things like I used to see. I used to look at people like you used to look at them. I used to have those same roving eyes, lusting after the things of the flesh and after the things of the world. But God touched my eyes and he gave me a new heart. And the same thing he did for me, he'll do for you. And that will be your testimony, because you allowed Christ to come into your heart. You took the effort to say, God, I'm going to open up the doors of my heart. I don't know how, but I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to say, yes, Lord, come in. Come in and take all my filthy rags, even my Sunday best. Take my leprosy and cleanse it. Take everything of my heart that doesn't honor you. Turn every table around that you want to turn over. Come in with your cords of love and just do what you got to do, Lord. Do what you got to do in my heart. Change my heart, Lord, and make me like you. Church is not going to do it, my friends. Getting involved in ministry, that's good. Reading your Bible, that's good. Praying, that's good. But Christ has to come in. All of the ministry that's done here is to lead us to open up our hearts to Christ. He's the one who makes the change. Are you hearing? Are you hearing what the Lord is saying? Having a godly dad, that's great. Having a godly mom that comes to church and prays and has a position in the church, that's awesome. But God is knocking on the door of your heart and saying, won't you make me your personal Lord? Won't you make me God in your life? Won't you allow me to come and work what I want to work in your life? If we're thinking, I don't open up to strangers, and this guy looks pretty strange through the peephole, we're right. Christ does look pretty strange when we're looking through a peephole, through our little tiny fish eye, limited understanding of who this miraculous, almighty God is. He will always look strange. The people of God will look strange, will look weird. You may be visiting here tonight and say, what are these people all about? What are they doing, raising their hands, clapping, singing? What's going on? And it's because many here have given their lives over to the God who produces a joy unspeakable and full of glory in their hearts. He's given them a new lease on life. God has broken the chains that bound them, and now they have a reason to sing and a reason to praise God. And there's no way of understanding it until you open the door and allow Christ to step in. And when he comes in, you see his fullness. And now you can testify, I once was blind, but now I see. That becomes more than just amazing grace, more than just a traditional hymn. It becomes reality in your life. I grew up in church, my friends. I grew up hearing the songs, singing the songs, participating in a youth choir and doing all the things that church kids do. And my mom was a choir director. My dad was a preacher. And I was practically born and raised in the pews of the church. But my friends, that did not make me a Christian. That did not make me a new creation. When Christ came into my heart, when I gave my heart over to him, and I opened the door and he came in, he began to break chains. He began to break the powers of darkness in my life that I had tried. And I had promised him, God, I'll stop doing this. I will stop doing that. I promise I'm going to try to do better next time. God came in and he was the one who made the difference in my life. And all of a sudden, all those songs that I used to sing became a reality. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. We sing a song in Spanish churches, Cristo rompe las cadenas, and Christ continues to break the chains. And that didn't make sense to me. It was just words. It was just poetry until he broke the chains in my life. My friends, there's no way of seeing the fullness of Christ until you open your heart and let him in and let him break the chains and let him give you a new mind and a new heart and a new lease on life. Let him show you who loves you with an everlasting love. Relationships won't do it. Drugs won't do it. Prosperity and success in this life won't do it. Christ is the only one. That one who looks so strange through the peephole is inviting you to open the door and let him in, to see him for whom he really is. If you're thinking it's a delivery of some sort and you just don't have what it takes, the moolah, to pay, you are right. It is a delivery. He doesn't come empty-handed. When he comes to your doorstep, when he comes and knocks on your door, he has everything you need. He says, I will dine, I will sup with you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to look in the cupboard to see what you can prepare, what you could put on the table. You and I have nothing to put on the table. He has everything to put on the table. And that's why Christ came down from glory and paid the price on the cross, because there was no way you and I were going to be able to pay the price to live free from sin and death and to be able to have communion with a holy God, a righteous God, and to be able to live eternally in his presence. Christ had to pay the price with his own blood, his own sacrifice on the cross. So he comes with his hands full. Not only does he come with provision, he is the provision that you need. We sing this evening, let the joy of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. They rise when we allow him to come in. And that's why they arise among us. They arise within us, the songs of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord. And then we could tell this world, this peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. This joy that I have, this bounce in my step, the world didn't give it to me. I don't owe anything to the world, and the world can't take it away. The enemy can't take it away. I opened my door, the door of my heart, to Christ, and he gave me this joy. He came with everything I needed. He set a table in front of my enemies. He embarrassed my enemies, those enemies that says, I've got you. I've got you chained. I've got you locked. I've got you behind prison doors. You'll never grow free. You're always going to be the same fleshly-minded person. I came in. Christ comes in and sets us free and embarrasses the enemy in front of all his cohorts and sets a table before me. There's freedom on the table. There's joy. There's power to resist temptation when temptation wants to sneak in again and creep up and say, I've got you. Come on, you know you love me. You know I have a place in your heart. You know I'll never leave. Power, power to send the enemy to flight. To say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I don't belong to the flesh anymore. I belong to the Christ who paid the price for my soul. I don't belong to this world and to all the lusts thereof. I belong to a holy God. And he gives you that power. He gives you that strength. The word of God says he teaches your hands to battle and your fingers to do war. I'm talking about taking the mouse or whatever you use for the computer and clicking on the right things. He gives you power to make the right choices and to delete the things that you need to delete. He gives you power to eliminate and clean house. And he gives you the wisdom. And he says, that goes. That's out. You know what that holds in your heart. You know that the grip that has on your life. And that does not edify your temple. Get rid of it. It gives you the power to do it. You may for years have known that you're holding on to things that Christ is not honored by. And you've been trying to get rid of it in your own strength. Let Christ come in. Let him come in. And he will give you the power. He's paid the price for that power. He's providing it on the table. He's giving you everything you need. Every bread of heaven is found in him to satisfy the hunger of your longing soul. Matthew 22 compares the kingdom of God to a wedding banquet, saying everything's prepared, even the banquet garments that are, I don't know if that's my phone. I hope it's not my phone. But whoever's calling has to wait. That's funny. I feel it vibrating in my I thought I had it on silent. I'm so sorry, guys. The kingdom of heaven could be compared to a wedding banquet where the master of the feast prepares everything, everything. And those who were invited to come refused to come and made up excuses saying, I can't go now, I have this to do, I have that to do. So the king and the father of the groom sends the servants out and says, call everybody who's lame, who's blind, who's weak, who's crippled, who has any type of defect, and tell them, listen, come in, there's still room. And that's a cry for everyone here who feels the weakness of their own flesh, who knows they can't live this Christian life in their own strength, who's come to that place where it says, without Christ, I'm lame, I'm crippled, I cannot walk, I cannot stand for Christ in this generation, I can't muster up the boldness to speak for you in the job and on the school and on the campuses. I need Christ to come in and give me that. He's inviting you, and he's saying, I have everything you need on the table set for you. And it says that one man came in with his own garments. He didn't accept the garments that were provided for him. And he was cast out of the feast. My friends, we don't come to the Lord and try to dress ourselves in our own righteousness and just look the part. We're not actors in this thing called Christianity. We're either Christians or we're not. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because God sees right to the core. He sees what you are. He knows what you are. And you're not fooling anybody. So God is saying, listen, come to me as you are. Filthy rags, broken hearts, depression, bondages, habits. Come to me as you are. Thought life patterns that don't honor me. Come as you are. Allow me to come into your heart, to do what I want to do, to turn over every table, to satisfy the longings of your soul. Leaving your boyfriend, getting another boyfriend, that's not going to cut it. I'm not telling you not to leave your boyfriend. If God is telling you to leave him, leave him. God has better for you. But that is not what's going to satisfy your soul. Christ is the only one who can fill that void in your heart. Not another relationship. Not a change of environment. If I could only do this, if I could only go there, if I could only do this. Don't be tripped up by the enemy. That just distracts you from the knock on the door. It's me, Christ says. It's me. If you open the door, if you hear my voice, I will come in and I will satisfy the longing of your soul. You have nothing to offer. I have nothing to offer. But he has everything to offer. If you're saying, I didn't invite anyone, how dare he just show up to my doorstep? What's this all about? About this Lord of Lords and King of my life? What is all this talk that I hear, the singing that I hear about his authority and his sovereignty? This is my house. This is my heart. I'm the Lord of my camp. I'm the Lord of my heart. I'm the man of this show. I'm the woman of this show. I lead my own life. I make my own decisions. My friends, let me remind you that he has the authority to invite himself into your heart, because he made you and you were made for him. Colossians 1:16, all things, that means you and me, were made by him and for him. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. Do you dwell in the world? Do I dwell in the world? Then I belong to him. I belong to him. He has the authority to say, like to Zacchaeus, come down, for tonight I'm going to your house. He has the authority to knock on your door and says, I need to sup with you. I need to come in. And not only that, but he has the right to tear the whole thing down if he wanted to. I'm going to say that again. He has the right to tear this whole thing down if he wanted to. The word of God says that he that believeth not is condemned already. So we're like a condemned building, and the owner comes in to he can tear it down. He has the authority and he has the right to say, this structure is not correct. It's not sound. It has to be brought down. This is going to be a disaster for you, for your family, for your future children, for the future generation. This is going to be a disaster. He can tear it down if he wanted to. But it says in the word of God, John 3:17, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He does not want to condemn that which should be condemned, which is your life and my life apart from Christ. I don't know if this is making sense to you, but this is the owner of the structure. This is the owner of the building. Yeah, we've played it like if we're the owners and we've said, this is my title deed and I have the rights and I see my name written on the door, so this must be my life and I can do whatever I want to with this life. And he says, oh no, you're going to be accountable to me, whether it be now or in the day of judgment, for what you did with your life, the life that I gave you, that I imparted to you, that I entrusted to you to be a good steward of this life. And you didn't allow me in. My friends, that will be our condemnation. My friends, it's time to open up the door to the one who created us, who knows us inside and out. He does not want to bring the house down. He can if he wanted to. And sometimes you feel like he is doing that. So there's some here tonight that may be struggling so bad, you say, God, what are you doing with my life? It seems like you're destroying me left and right. I turn this way and there's your hand resisting me. My friends, that's his knock. That's his glorious, gracious knock on the doors of your heart, saying, won't you open up and let me in? You feel like I'm going to destroy your plans, but I wanted to marry that girl so bad. I know she's ungodly. I know she doesn't want anything to do with you, but I wanted to marry her so bad. I'm so in love with her. And God is saying, get away from her. And you're saying, get away from me, Lord. Stop knocking on the door of my heart. And he has the right to tear it all down, to leave you in shambles, to leave you with nothing. With that which you hoped for, that can evaporate in an instant. And you feel that's going to satisfy your soul forever. My friends, he can tear it down in an instant. But once you let him in, my friends, once you and I open up the doors of our heart to the King of Glory, my friends, there is no wind that's going to knock us down. There is no big bad wolf that can huff and puff and knock our house down. Nothing sent against us. The word of God says no weapon formed against us will prosper. It says the gates of hell won't prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Therefore, let the enemy send whatever he sends our way. We're going to stand for Christ because we've opened our heart to Christ. We've let him come in as Lord of glory. If we're thinking we've had an increase of break-ins in this neighborhood, and it's not safe to open the door to this Christ who promises us life. My friends, he may look like a stranger. Your situation may not be safe. And I'm going to tell you something. It's true. It's not safe to let him in. It's safe for you, but it's not safe for the thief who has already broken into your heart and into my heart, apart from Christ. The word of God says there's a thief that's sent to steal, kill, and destroy. And since the Garden of Eden, this thief has entered into the heart of humanity, has entered in not just to take your valuables, not just to steal a few things here and there, but he's after your life and he's after my life. He's after your soul and he's after my soul. And he's already encroached himself in our very nature, in our human Adamic nature, that nature we get from Adam and our forefathers who sinned against God. That thing within us that just naturally causes us to do what dishonors God. It's just natural in us. None of us are born with a grace to just live holy for God. We have a bent nature that's bent on doing that which dishonors God. And that thief that's sent to steal, kill, and destroy your life is already in the house. And Christ still knocks on the door. Humbly knocks and says, won't you let me in so that I could bind the strong man, so that I can give you life and life abundantly, so that I can get rid of every unwanted guest in your house. You may have a lot of guests in your house. In your heart, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that person that's staying in your home. Don't go home with the wrong message and say, you out. I heard a message tonight and kick your roommate out and kick your... I'm talking about your heart. Some unwanted guests there. And you're saying, I'm not going to open the door to this Jesus and have another unwanted guest that doesn't want to leave my home. My friend, your home belongs to him. He has the title deed. He is the one in charge. Let him in. Your security system has failed you. When you try to live and guard yourself against the enemy, it fails you every time. He knows how to sneak behind. He knows how to crack the lock. He knows how to get into your heart. He knows how to take a dominion over you. He knows how to abuse you, and he knows what thoughts to put in your heart. Won't you let the King of Glory come in and take control and bind the strong man and cause him to flee? The Word of God says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises up a standard. And that means he causes the enemy to flee. Won't you do this? My friends, you could rebuke the devil all you want. You could use all the lingo. I rebuke you, Satan, in the mighty and majestic name of the glorious, omnipotent God. And use all this fancy language, and the enemy just sits back and laughs if you don't allow the King of Glory to come and rule and reign in your heart. The Word of God says, submit yourselves to God. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But first, it's submitting our life to his lordship. And then the enemy sees Christ. He comes against us, but then he sees Christ. And that's why he flees. Not because we're rebuking, we got the lingo down. I saw the pastor doing it, and I'm going to do it the same way. How did he say that? You remember the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts that tried to rebuke these demons in the name of Jesus, in the name of Paul, in the name of Peter, in the name of all these disciples that they had seen rebuking. And the devils just said, yeah, we know Jesus, we know Paul, we know Peter, but who are you? They couldn't see Christ in these men because they hadn't opened up their hearts to the King of Glory. My friends, we are powerless against the enemy unless we open our door to the King of Glory. And lastly, there may be some as we stand tonight and as the musicians come, there may be come to say, I'm just so sick, I just can't get out of bed. I'm so bound that I don't even know how to invite God into my heart. I'm such a mess. You can stand. If you're here tonight and you're saying, I'm just sick. My mind is sick. My heart is sick. If people were to see me and see the reality of who I am, the sickness of my heart, they would probably throw me out of the church. They would probably be embarrassed of sitting next to me. But God sees. He sees the sickness called sin. And he paid the price to set you free. If you're in here and you say, I'm so sick, I can't even cry out to God. I've lost the ability to even raise my voice to him. I don't even know what to say. I don't even come to the altar anymore because I've tried church and nothing has happened. I've tried promising him that I'm going to do better. But there's nothing else to describe my life than just plain old sickness. I'm sin sick. I'm sick in my heart and in my mind. If that's you, I'm inviting you this evening. You don't have to go to the door. You don't have to turn the knob. All you have to do is say, come in, Lord Jesus. Come in. And he's a gentleman. He's such a gentleman. He will wait for your invitation. He's inviting himself in. Won't you invite him to take that step and just come in, Lord. Come in and do what I can't do. Come in and take over. Lord, come in. I'm sick. I'm in bed. I can't get up. I can't even respond to the altar call. I don't even know what that's all about. I don't even know what going to the front is. I don't know what they're going to do to me. I'm skeptical. I'm afraid of entrusting my life to a church. And my friends, this is not church we're preaching here. This is Christ, the one who created you. This is the Lord of glory. This is the God of the universe, the one who knows you inside and out, who saw you when you were inside your mother's womb. And he still had a plan for you, a design for your life, to bring glory and honor to his name. And now he knocks on your door, and all he's asking you to do is saying, come in, Lord Jesus, come in. As the musicians worship and as the audience worships, if God is tugging at your heart, don't harden your heart tonight. Come. If it's just one person, if it's two people, whatever it may be, if that's your heart, let it be your night of allowing the King of Glory in. You will never regret it. You will never regret it. This will be a day that you will mark on your calendars as a birthday, as a day that you found the reason why you're here on this planet, the reason why they placed you here. You've looked in the mirror and you've said, what am I here for? What am I all about? Am I even alive? Tonight you're going to feel alive because the giver of life is going to come into your heart. You've done yourself harm. You've been harming yourself. Because you want to feel something worth experiencing. You want to feel a purpose. You've been hurting yourself. You know you've been hurting yourself. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. You're spiraling down a dark tunnel and you cannot stop. You have seasons of reprieve and you think you're free. And then all of a sudden you're back. You're back to the same old thing, the same old lifestyle. And God is saying, I'm the only one who can break that cycle. I'm the only one who can set you free on the right path. I'm the only one who can break the chains. Won't you come? Won't you come and just whisper to him? Whisper to him from your sick bed and say, come in. Help yourself, Lord. Come in. You know the mess. I'm in. It's not going to shock you. You already know it. Come in and change my heart. If that's you, come. We invite you. Hallelujah. If you would just make this prayer your prayer and be sincere from the heart, I believe what we're singing, I will exalt you. It's like you're prophesying over your own life, but it's the voice of God saying, yes, you will. You're going to exalt me. I have a plan for your life and you're going to lift me up on high. And the world will see that I am real and I'm worthy to be trusted. I'm worthy to be allowed to come in when I knock on your door. Because of what he does in your life and through your life, you will exalt him. Will you just pray with me? Father, we've heard you knocking. You could repeat after me. Father, we've heard you knocking. And you can come in. We come as we are. So you come as you are. Mighty and strong. Majestic and glorious in all your splendor and power, with love, with grace, fill my heart with your presence. Turn over everything that needs to be turned over and give me a new heart, a new mind. Give me eyes to see you as the treasure that we've been singing about. Jesus, I yield the right to my life, the right to my home, the right to my future into your hands, because you paid the price for me on the cross. Save me, Lord Jesus, and make my life a testimony that will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, I just pray that, Lord, you would come with your grace and show yourself to be who you are. The time of looking at you through a peephole is over. God, we want to see you as glorious, as the one desirable, as the fairest of 10,000, as the lily of the valley, as the rose of Sharon. God, capture our heart as we open our hearts to you this evening. And God, take over. Take over. I know it's going to be glorious, dear God. Give my brothers and sisters here a fresh lease on life, dear God. Break every chain, every bondage, every hurt, every pain, every wound of the past, every abuse. Break it, dear God. We cry out to you from our sick bed, and you're the only one who can truly heal us. Touch us this evening and heal every wounded heart. Heal every bruised soul, dear God. And set us free that we can be able to spread the healing of your gospel truth to all those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give God the glory. Pastor.